go ahead and pray, and we'll see what the Lord will have with us with this lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very, very wonderful day that you've given us, Lord, another opportunity, Lord, to open up your word together, another opportunity, Lord, to learn from your word. Lord, there's many that are not here due to sickness. Seems like sickness is going around us with the change of weather, getting warm one day, cold the next. And Lord, it's taking a toll on some people. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray that you'd give them health. I pray that you'd make the sickness to go away. Lord, I pray that we know it doesn't pass around all of us here in the church. And Lord, we pray that you'd bring them back to us soon. I pray also for those that have surgery. I know at least Jay had a surgery this week, and he's not here with us in class. And Lord, we pray for his soon recovery. And Lord, a speedy, Lord, rehabilitation that he can, Lord, work again, the therapy. Lord, we pray that you'd help again our spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be alert, alive, awake. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us now as we prepare, Lord, for your Lord's Day with this lesson from your word. I pray that you'd use it to encourage us and use it, Lord, to be a tool that we can use again to do the purpose that we left us here, and that's to win others to yourself. And Lord, we love you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Genesis, let's start over there, and we'll go all the way to Revelation today, or Genesis, chapter number 1. You don't want me to do that, because I really confuse you. Genesis, chapter number 1. Pastor school was very, very, very good, very helpful. It's my first time going, and I think the last message, Pastor Scott, I don't know if you guys were able to see it, or the last message, the one that was preached on Thursday night, summed it up, and I really enjoyed that. I really, really did, and it was amazing. I wish more people could really apply that truth in their life, and I think Christianity would be changed somewhat. But if you have time, you can go ahead and check that out. Like Pastor Seth said, we could probably give you some of the CDs. But let's go ahead and take this on, Genesis chapter number 1. Let's read verse 1-31. A lot of reading. I'll read you the whole thing. And let me just start now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day of the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created the great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let flowers multiply in the earth." In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth upon his kind, after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And obviously the seventh, he rested. And we see that in chapter number 2. And then we saw a detailed description of man's creation in verse number 3. Now people thought that that was a gap 3, that God made the creation the first of Genesis, and then there's a second creation that they made in the third. I don't believe that. I believe that God in the chapter 3 of Genesis just enhanced or gave us a little bit more of a detail, explained per se, a little bit more clearly the man's creation. And we'll read that there. There's no two creation. There's only one. God only made the earth and all the things in it, men, land, one time. And that was Adam and Eve, obviously. We know that. The title of this is Creation Questioned. Creation Questioned. First of all, creation testifies of the existence of God. Creation testifies the existence of God. Romans chapter number 1, if you want to turn there, Romans chapter number 1 and verse 20. And I hope you could use this as you talk to people more and more in our day and age. You have to convince even my age group and even younger that there is a creation. The first thing you encounter with anybody, especially going to college per se, or out of college. I was working in Austin when we were going street evangelists with street preaching. Excuse me. We would talk to people in the university, UT, and we would talk to them, and we get to talk to them very, very heavily on different things. And one of the questions they will ask is about obviously creation, to see if it was true or not, evolution. So it's a good thing for you to know if you want to convince even the younger generation that there is a God. You have to convince them that there's a God, because they've been taught that there is not a God. And evolution helps that thought. Evolution helps that thought. Evolution is an aid or a sidekick to atheism. And so you better know somewhat of creation. And we got plenty of stuff. If you want to learn about it, we got plenty of stuff. You can ask us how you can learn. Creation testifies to the existence of God. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Without excuse. There is no excuse. After you see creation, after you see the things that God has made, there is no excuse that there is not a God. There is a God there. There is a designer. And there's many, many things I can argue with you, per se, or I can give you, that you could probably use, or that you can use against them, saying that there is a God. But I won't do that. I won't take time to do that. But God, the invisible things of God are clearly seen in the creation. Invisible things of God. God is there. God doesn't have to show himself, per se. He already has in the creation of the world. In the creation of the world. There is no way. You know what evolution is? Evolution is a theory. A theory that is just a big excuse. It's a big excuse. It's just like when you knock on some people's doors and you say, you want to go to church tomorrow? Oh, I have a birthday party. Or you knock on people's door and say, hey, we have Sunday school competition. We would like you to come so you can help us. Oh, man, I have to take my dog to the vet. Evolution is that way. It's just a big excuse when God says, hey, I'm here. And we as humans, in Romans 1 talks about it. In fact, the whole book of Romans. And it talks about that we have made God of no existence. We have made creation greater than God, and we worship the creature rather than the creator. And it's a battle with the mind. It's a battle with the mind. It works in our mind. Psalms 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, excuse me, showeth his handiwork. The firmament showing his handiwork. Revelation, Genesis again. We can turn to Genesis to keep you there in Genesis chapter number 1. I got a little bit of a tickle in my throat. So you better watch that when you shake my hand. You better wash your hands. And by the way, that's a good idea with all the sickness going around. Excuse me. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day. The firmament showeth his handiwork. When we gaze upon the stars, we wonder. We wonder. And it's amazing what God has done outside, far, far, far away. It's amazing, like I said again, the invisible things, the things that we can't see. It's very wonderful. And we're just now discovering it. Science is now just getting advanced enough that we can discover the little things. But it's amazing what God has done. Our society today chooses to believe in evolution because of one simple fact. It excuses the God of heaven, the creator of mankind. Man loves his own way ever since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Evolution cannot excuse the clear evidence of God's existence in creation. There is more evidence for creation than there is for evolution. And it's so true. But like I said, an unreasonable people will not reason with you. I tell you that. An unreasonable people will not reason. It doesn't matter how much reason you give them. They choose to believe that there's not a God, and they'll find any excuse that they can find to justify their actions. And you know what? The farther you go away from God, the farther you go away from His ways and His ways of things, the more illogical you become. Just remember that. The farther away you go away from God, the more illogical your life will be. The more things that you'll do that doesn't really make sense. And the closer you draw nigh to God, the closer you get close to Him, the more things make sense. The more things make sense. God is the God of order, and we know that. And He does things on purpose. And we know that. We're seeing that in the tabernacle itself, in the building of it. He is an ordered person and an ordered being, because order brings peace. And God is the author of peace. And so, we see that in creation, everything has an order. We got animals that eat the dead carcasses of other animals for the purpose of what? It cleans up the area. It cleans it up. There's a purpose why God made them. There's a purpose why God made preys, to keep the population of rabbits down so that we don't be bombarded with all these things running around. God has a purpose in what He does. There's a purpose why we breathe oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide so that the plants can breathe the carbon dioxide we breathe out, and they breathe out oxygen so that we can breathe it in. God makes sense. Things that He made make sense. The problem that we don't think it makes sense, even going to the spiritual realm of things, is because we're far away from God. Now, we don't understand why God says, in order to have life, you must lose life. Now, to that, doesn't make sense. When God says that in order to have abundant life, you must die to self. How in the world can you enjoy an abundant life if you're dead? Right? To our mind, it doesn't make sense. But it makes a lot of sense. in creation, does it? Because the Bible gives us a principle of death, burial, and resurrection. And you get that principle in your life, and you'll have amazing, amazing results. Death, burial, and resurrection. Lest a grain of mustard seed fall on the ground, or whatever seed it may be, fall on the ground and die and be buried, it will bring no fruit. You see, there's a principle of death, burial, and resurrection. We have to die in order for us to bring fruit. An apple tree or an apple seed must be buried, must die, and must be buried in order for it to bring more fruit, more trees, and more apples. And that is the way that God has done it in our life. We must die to self, and then we must be buried. And our life be hid, as the seed is hid, so that it can produce and grow, not our life, but the life of the Lord Jesus. You see, it's not a two life going on at the same time. Christianity is not two lives living coexistently. It's that way because we don't yield ourselves to the one life that should be lived through us. We want to live our life, but at the same time, we know that that doesn't bring fulfillment. It doesn't bring satisfaction. And so we ask God to live His life through us because we know that His life brings life abundant. But we can't be that way. We can't. That is pure chaos. And that's pure, unuttered, no peace. You can't have life like that. You can't live two lives. Can you have two boss? One telling you another thing, and the other one telling you the other thing. Oh, yes. Maybe for a few times, they will tell you to do the same thing, and it's easy to do. What happens if they tell you to do the things opposite from each other? That's why God is a wise thing, even though He didn't say it's sin to have only one wife, because you can't obey both. No, I'm just kidding. Right? You can laugh. Great. But that's the thing. We can't have two bosses. You can't have God or mammon. And so with God, it's that way. And people of this world don't want to submit themselves under His authority. And that is really the crucial question of evolution. They don't want to submit themselves under the authority of God. Because when you say that there's a God, you know what that means? It means everything in the Bible is true all of a sudden. Now, no, most people, if you talk to them, really, even if they're agnostic, which believe that there's a God, but they don't believe that they affect your life, per se, a personal life, they would say that there might be a God that created the heavens and the earth. But that's it. That's it. That's all He has in our life. He created it, and He left us. It's like somebody having a baby and leaving the baby to grow up for itself, and then leaves. That's what agnostic tries to believe. Because then again, it excuses the authority of God in our life. We simply don't want to do what we're told to do. We don't want to be submitted, and a good Christian is submitted. And God lived a submitted life Himself. As a man on earth, lived a submitted life. Didn't that He say He learned obedience? It's not that He didn't know obedience. The fact of the matter is, He didn't have to obey. He was the final say. He was the God of heaven. We needed to obey Him. But He said, I want to be like you. I want to take the form of a man and be a servant and learn obedience. And He did that. And He was even obedient, even to the death of the cross. And for that, we're very glad, because that brought a way for us to enter into His glory someday. And not only that, we can live now the life of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. We must die so that we could be buried and hid, and so that His life can come out of that. And we need to live the Christian life. I was listening to a CD. A Christian life is not us living it. No, it's totally apart from man. The Christian life is God living through us. You understand that? The Christian life is God living through us. It's not us living it out. Because just like these lamps are beautiful, but if there's no electricity, if there's no power where it draws from so that it can produce the light, there'll be no light. They can look pretty, but they won't produce what they're made to produce, and that's light. But if they like they're doing now, are drawing from that energy called electricity. And so they produce light. And so the same for us. We get our what? Power. We get our grace from the Almighty God. And we can live the Christian life, Him living it through us. And it's not us producing our light. This lamp don't produce light. They just simply channel the energy that they're getting from the electricity to produce the light. They don't produce it themselves. If you unplug this from the electricity, it will go out. And so is our life. And so I encourage you, there's a lost dying world that don't even believe in the Creator God. How in the world can you convince them that God did not just create us for the purpose of making things, but He also wants a relationship with us? How can you convince a world that doesn't believe that God created the world and then convince them and say, not only did God create the world, but He wants to start a relationship. He wants you to become His sons. He wants to adopt you into His family. He wants you to be His friend. He wants you to be one of His loved ones. How can you convince the world of that if they don't believe that God created them? So this is an important thing. Creation testifies the existence of God. Letter A under that. Evolution. Evolution. It teaches that the universe began through a big bang. A small dot that's supposed to have suddenly started spinning, which caused it to blow up, creating the sun, moon, and stars. And that is an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. I wish I can do that. I can bring a bunch of junk metal, and maybe like a tire and a couple of things, and put it in one big room and blow it up, and that'll get me a nice Lincoln car. Or a Cadillac. I like a Cadillac. But a preacher has to drive in the Cadillac. No. But it's really nice if that could happen, but we know that's not true. But number B, letter B, creation. It teaches that in the beginning God, right from the very beginning, creation testifies that there's a God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the world. Evolution starts in this order, but creation begins with precise detail and organization. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than to trust in the Lord God Almighty, and it sure does. How in the world could you believe something that starts from this order and brings order when everything that we do in order tends to disorder? Okay, now, look at this. I comb my hair like this. I go to bed. And suddenly, amazingly, funny, when I get up in the morning, it don't look better than when I got in the night before. In fact, it looked horrible. And I have to fix it again. And that's just a little practical thing that you can say to people. He said, if you believe that things tend to order, when you're not living the same planet I'm living, whatever medicine you're taking, you give me some of that. Because it's surely working for you, and you are seeing some wild stuff. But the law says that everything tends to disorder. It really does. It sure does. You don't go out in the trees, per se, out in the woods even now. You don't see, per se, if it's not a wood that's taken care of, you see a bunch of trees falling down, and it looks horrible. Everything tends to disorder. Your car doesn't all of a sudden gets better as more mileage you put on it. Things just don't go any better than that. And so, creation testifies of God. Creation speaks of God's power. Creation speaks of God's power. Romans 1:20, we already read that. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. We see creation speaks of God's power. And like I said again, power means ability to do something and also means authority. Ability and authority. Power. It could mean either or. I might have power to punch some of you, but I don't necessarily have authority to do that. And some of you look at me and say, man, that boy needs a good spanking. But you might have the power to spank me, but technically you don't have the authority to do it. Unless my mom and dad give you that. And I don't know them, so I'm not going to introduce you to them. No, I'm just kidding. But we might have the ability to do things, but we don't necessarily have the authority. We might have the ability to say somebody, hey, you're doing this wrong, but no, we don't have the authority. Our pastor has that. By the way, when our pastor tells you something about your life, you better listen. You sure better listen. Because that man has a relationship with God. And I'll tell you this, just a side note. He has helped me indirectly, by having a good life, by having a godly life. When I go out on the road, you know what I have to say on the phone? Hello, I'm from Faith Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Art calls me pastor. Oh, great, come on over. You know how much his name has helped me indirectly. And we have a good pastor. We have a great pastor. And if you don't see that, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry for you. And if you see all his faults, you know what? I see them too. But it doesn't help to bring him to himself. You know what you need to do with him is you pray for him. Pray for him. You have a great pastor here. And I hope you realize that. I hope you can thank him. I hope you can honestly go to him and say thank you for studying the book, for being the way you are. Because he's a great man. I tell you, he has helped me as a missionary going on deputation, telling people, hey, this is where I'm from. You know how much easy that is for me? Totally easy. Totally easy. Almost everybody that I called has had me come in because of that name. And even people will say, hey, people even say to me, says this, if you're hanging around Pastor Cole for 11 years, you'll be fine. You know how much that name carries? It carries a lot. And so I appreciate him. I thank him publicly in front of y'all. He's been a blessing. But power. For God spoke everything into existence. And God said, the phrase is seen 9 times in Genesis chapter number 1. God said, God said, God said. That's power. God said this, and boom, it happens. This tells us that his word is powerful. It is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is powerful. And even to this day, it challenges your motive. Even to this day, it challenges the way you think. And is that powerful or what? And this, even the King James, 1611. That's a while ago. But the Bible tells us that it's still good to this day. If you read the Bible today, and you're still going to get convicted, it still speaks to you. It's alive. It's alive. It's amazing the power of this word. And God spoke everything into existence, especially us, except for us. He formed us from the dust of the ground. But he breathed into us the breath of life. But his word is powerful. Another thing about creation, not only speaks of God's power, it speaks of God's wisdom. And you don't have to turn to these passages, but if you want to jot them down, you can. Proverbs 3, verse 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom had founded the earth. By understanding had he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. The Lord by wisdom had founded the earth. This is not a coincidence that things are the way they are. Like I said again, it takes a lot of wisdom. It's not a coincidence that our building looks like this. It takes what? A blueprint? It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of thinking to have it the way it is. And so it is with God. Wisdom. It takes wisdom. And God had plenty of wisdom, and he'll never run out. And if you want wisdom, do like Solomon did. God imparts them to me. And today, we say he's the wisest man in the world. But sometimes being a smart man doesn't necessarily keep you from sin. Remember that. Wisdom not necessarily keep you from sin. You have to have a relationship with God Almighty. Not only creation speaks of God's power, nor his wisdom, but his presence. Colossians 1, in verse 16 to 17. It talks about God's presence. Number 2, and I'll go quickly. I'll never get to finish any of my sermon. That's why I copy people's. I even finished one page. Okay. Number 2, creation. I just finished this up right here. Declares the preciseness of God. Creation declares the preciseness of God. Not only creation, creation testified his existence, but it also declares his preciseness. 1 Corinthians 14:40. It says, let all things be done decently and in order. A precise plan. When we look at the creation of the world, we can clearly see the perfect order which God operated. Think about it for a second. What would happen if God made man first, before he made the land or plants? Where would man have lived? What would have he eaten? We have no way to excuse the preciseness that God exercised. When he created his world, he is a perfect designer, engineer, carpenter, you name it. God's plan works like a well-oiled machine. It fits very well together. When we talk about a plan, it brings up the idea of timing. A good plan has to have good timing to make it more beautiful. Too often we as Christians get ahead or fall behind of God's timing. When God tells us to wait on Him and be still, we decide to run the race. When He says arise and go, we hide in our prayer closet and act like we're spiritual. We must follow the plan of God who makes everything beautiful in His time. And I'll be done with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. It says, He had made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He had set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work of God naked from the beginning to the end. God does not reveal everything to man because He wants us to continually seek His face. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of king is to search out the matter. And let me make one thing clear. I didn't do justice at all to this. Not at all. And I probably won't ever preach it again. To you, at least. I might use it somewhere else, but sorry about that. I never do justice to my preaching because I put so much stuff in it and I can never get through it. I want everything to count, and so I never get time to finish it. But it's all right. And you guys know about creation anyways. But the thing is there, like it said there before, that creation testifies the existence of God and it declares His purpose. And we need to realize that He makes things to happen. He orders it. All things work together. Well, you say, well, that could mean the good things. No, that means all things. Even the bad things that happen to you. Even the bad things. Those things work together for good. For you. For those that are called to His purpose. All things. It doesn't say good. It doesn't say good. It means also bad. Bad or good. All things. You lose your job, it's going to work out good for you. And so we need to realize that with God, we need to go in His timing. You know, really, I want to go to the Philippines yesterday. In fact, I want to be there a month ago. But that's not His timing. And I have to wait for His timing. Because in His timing, He brings something wonderful. In His timing, He brings things beautiful. Because you know what? I have to go where He goes. And that's, again, what Pastor Scott preached. And it was very wonderful. I'm called to Him. I'm not called to be a preacher, to preach in a pulpit. I'm not called to, per se, teach a Sunday school class. I'm not called to go ahead and preach in the prison. I'm not called to visit the nursing home people. I'm not called to be a soul winner. I'm called unto Him. You know what that means? It's a relationship. Wherever He goes, I go. He went, in my life, He went to Austin, Texas for 4 years. And so I followed. And that's where I was for 4 years. And He came back. And so I followed. And Lord willing, He's directed me slowly but surely. He's going to the Philippines. In my life, He's going to the Philippines. And I'm going to follow. Wherever He is, that's where I want to be in my life. You know what? For you, it might not be going to the Philippines. For you, it might just be going Sunday night. To you, it might not be going here. It might just be going Wednesday night. Or to you, you might be going soul winning Saturday, but He might lead you on to say, hey, I'm available Tuesday night. You know, think about it this way, and I'll be done. We've got 10 minutes, 12 minutes right now. I'll be done. God is available to us. At any time, at any moment, if we have any problem, we can call and talk to Him. Is He not available to us? At any time we want, He's there. Let me ask you this. Are you available to Him at any time when He calls you? Think about it and think about it hard. Heavenly Father, we thank You again. Help us now in the next lesson. Thank You for our pastor. Thank You for You being our Creator. And we can see You evidently all over the world in the creation. We thank You, Lord, that You were a precise, orderly man. And Lord, we love You and thank You for bringing that peace that we need. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen.